Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Pesachim Daf Mem Beis. We begin a brand new perek. Interesting, there are different opinions as to what the name of the perek is. The girsa that we have in our Gemaras is Ve'elu Ovrim. However, the girsa in the Mishnayis is Elu Ovrim, and that's how normally the perek is called Elu Ovrim. Anyway, it is the beautiful third perek of Pesachim. We're learning today L'ilu Nishma Sinai Weinreich, Sinai Ben Labish, and we begin. The Gemara starts. New perek, the Elu Ovrim bePesach. The following items. Now Rashi understands this. It says if you're owning them, you're over Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzei, and that's the understanding that we're going to work with. That this is something that is not pure chametz. It is not chametz gomur, but it is a form of chametz which you're still not allowed to own. If you were to eat this, you wouldn't be chayiv kares, Rashi tells us. But nevertheless, you're over by your raw, by your matzah, you're over a lav if you own it. And we'll see there are seven things that are mentioned over here. We broke it up into the first group of four things, which are this type of a chametz that is not pure chametz. And then you'll have a category of chametz called chametz nuksha, which is chametz that is a much, much less edible type of chametz. So the first group will be things that are mixed in with chametz, a taruvis of chametz, and the next three are going to be something called chametz nuksha, a difficult-to-eat type of a chametz. That's the understanding that Rashi has. Tosos, in the top Tosos in the Perek, the Elu Ovrim bePesach, brings down Pirusha Kuntris. He says, La'avor aleim b'bayiro b'yimotze, that when it says Elu Ovrim bePesach, it means, according to Rashi, that you're over the Issa of b'yiro b'yimotze if you have these in your possession. And this is also the opinion of the Rivab, who's medaktik miloshin Ovrim, who says, the mashma Ovrim min ha'olam, that you remove them from the world. And it's a lashon of taking it away. You're obligated to take it away. In other words, get rid of it because of Bayi Rabbi Yamatze. And that's consistent as well with some of the other Rishonim. However, Tosus himself says that Nira Rabbeinu Tam, that the Rabbeinu Tam's opinion is that this lashon of Ovrim is mashma to call Hanach Marvinon mikol machmetzes lo sochelu. He says, technically, these things aren't osir, except for the fact that it says, don't eat any machmetzis, including even a tarovis. And therefore, he says, why would you say that this is over by Rabbi Yamatze? Technically, this shouldn't be a problem. It's just you shouldn't eat it, but you're not over by Rabbi Yamatze. And therefore, Tosus understands this to be, according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Nir Rabbeinu Tam, when it says over here, the Elu Ovrim, it means Pirush Ha'ochlin over it. Hainu me'ala shulchan. You have to take them off the table. The lab b'ni mechel ninhu avo bal yirah leka. He says they aren't an issur by yirah by yamatze, but you shouldn't keep them on the table because you're not allowed to eat them because of komach metzis lo sochelu, but there is no issur in owning them. In any event, we're going to work with the sheet of Rashi that you're over by yirah by yamatze. So, the Mishnah tells us the following list of seven things you're going to be over by yirah by yamatze if you have them in your possession on Pesach. And we'll discuss all seven in the Gemara, so I'm just going to read them now and translate them as the words sound. Kusach HaBavli is a certain type of a dish that was very famous and known to be eaten as a dip in Bavel, and this contained in it some sort of old bread. So this Kusach HaBavli had spoiled bread in it, spoiled milk in it, and other ingredients. It was a famous dip. Again, there are places in Gemara that said that this was a very, very difficult to eat dish, and the people in Bavel loved it. V'sheich ramadai, this is a certain type of beer Rashi is going to tell us that came from barley. Normally the beer came from dates, but sometimes they would add barley to it, and that's why this is a concern over here with tarovis of chametz, with the barley that's inside of it. Some suggest it was a very small amount of barley, it still was date beer. Then you have chometz v'adomi. This is chometz again. You have to be careful not to mix up chometz and chometz. So chometz is vinegar. So this is a certain type of vinegar that came from Edom, which we'll discuss in the Gemara. And finally, the fourth from the beginning is v'zeisom hamitzri. This is a certain type of product as well, which we'll discuss in the Gemara, known as zeisom hamitzri, that contained within it certain pieces of chometz. Then you have three different categories of chometz nuksha. The first one is zoman shel tzaboyim. This is something that the people who made various dyes, so they use certain type of chometz inside these dyes. Again, we'll discuss all of these in the Gemara. V'amilon shel tabachim, the butchers or the cooks, they had certain types of chometz also that they put into various ingredients, also chometz nuksha. And finally, the kolon shel sofrim, we'll see it's called the certain type of glue that the sofrim used to use. Some will say this is like the shoemakers, and others will say that no, this is actually talking about the people that made books, and they would attach the pages together with this glue. So these last three are types of chametz nuksha, not really edible, but technically edible chametz. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he adds an additional item, and that is af tachshite noshim. Now, this isn't exactly makeup for women. We'll see it's a depilatory agent that women used to use. The Gemara concludes the Mishnah with that klal. This is the rule. Kol shum imin dogon. Whenever something comes from the five grains, Rashi reminds us the five grains that we talked about in the last parak, chitin, sorin, kusbin, shibola, shua, ushipun. You have the wheat, the barley, spelt, oats, and rye. So anything that has these five grains inside of them, harezah over b'pesach. You're over, according to Rashi, b'ayroah b'ayimotzeh on Pesach, and harei elu b'hasara. However, there's only a lot if you were to eat them, v'ein b'hem mishum koris, but you don't get koris if you eat them, because these are either taroves or nuksha, and therefore there is no full-fledged issur of koris. Gemara starts off and says, Tanur Rabban, we learn the following b'raisa. Since we talked about Kuta Chabavli in the Mishnah, so we'll learn a little bit more about this Kuta Chabavli, again, which was a certain type of a dip, which contained within it various things, including some spoiled bread. So, three things were said about this Kuta Chabavli. Number one, Metamtim Esalev. It plugs the coronary arteries. It plugs up the heart. Number two, it makes you go blind. And number three, Umakash Esaguf. It weakens the entire body. Now, why is this? So, why is it metamtim esalev? How does it plug up the heart? Plugs up your coronary arteries. Mishum nasiove dechava, because it has a certain type of way. Nasiove dechava, Rashi tells us, is a foreign language word, mishka, which is usually translated as way. In other words, it's a material inside the milk that is going to be bad for the heart. How is it mesame etzoinayim? That's because we should milcha. This is the famous melech sodomis, the certain type of salt that they had in their days that they would add to food, that if you touched it to your eyes, it could make you go blind. So that was another problem with this kuta chababli. And number three, umachish esagov. It made your whole body weak. How is that? Mishum kumaniso de uma. Rashi explains kumaniso de uma is this spoiled bread. Ifusha pas. It is a certain type of bread. Shemis afish lachasman besoch hakusach. It spoils after a while. Some suggest that they put it in spoil, but it stays around for a while, then it spoils. It gets all sorts of molds on it. And this is this kumaniso de uma. Okay. Now, Tanur Rabban, another bride says, Shlosh Dvar Marbim HaZevel. There are three things that cause a person to have an increased amount of zevel, an increased amount of excrement in his body. And that's not good. So these things are also the Kofifin Es Hakoma. They bend the person over. It's not good for you. It makes your body bent over. V'notlin Echad Mechomesh Meos Mim Or Eino Shalodim. And likewise, it removes 1/500th of the sight of your eyes. Now, Elohim, what are these foods? So pas kiber, we've said many times, pas kiber is like this pas hadra, this like whole grain. Without the removal of the bran and the chaff, and what today is considered very healthy by some people, so in those days it was considered extremely unhealthy. This pas kiber, bread that was made from this whole grain. Number two is Sheikha Chadosh, brand new fresh beer, was also felt to be not a good agent for you. And the Yerek Chai, some delete the word Chai, others say, no, it just means eating fresh vegetables. Rashi says, Kigon Krishin, Ubat Solim, Chazerin, various types of leeks and onions and radishes. And if you eat a lot of them, Kishochamayim Harbe, Tom, if you eat a lot of them all the time, that's also going to increase the excrement in your body and bend you over. On the other hand, Tanur Rabban, the following bright says, Shlosh Dvar Matnas Zevel. The following three things limit the amount of Zevel that you have. The mun in the midbar was the perfect food. It gave you no Zevel whatsoever because it was 100% pure ochal, the nourishment for you. It was totally absorbed within the body. The people didn't have to go to the bathroom. That's how good the mun was. So, a ideal food, Matnas Zevel, makes you use up more of the food. You take it in, and there's less waste coming out. It makes a person stand upright. It makes a person much healthier. And it also brightens the eyes. And what are these foods? Elhein pastakia, very, very finely sifted bread. So the flour was soulless, which we mentioned many times. It's more preferable in the times of the Gemara than this whole wheat grain. So nice, clean bread was made from very, very well-refined, sifted flour. Basar shamei, fatty meat. Again, not something that we would necessarily recommend today. And in the times of the Gemara, this was felt to be very healthy. And the yayin yoshen, old wine. The Gemara will define this as being wine from a couple of years ago. Now, what exactly is pasnikia? We turn to the Amud Beis. As we mentioned, this is what's called smida. Rashi reminds us, this is solas. Smida and solas are the same thing. This very finely sifted flour, and then you make bread from that. This pas that is made from this finely sifted bread is very healthy for you, the Gemara says. Basar shamei, this fatty meat, what is this referring to? So there's two pshatim over here. Rashi tells us that tzvirta delo iftach. It's talking about a young goat, a female goat, that has not yet had a child. Its rechem has not been opened up. So Rashi explains that this is referring to Eiz Shelo Yolda. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Chananel brings down that pshat from Rashi, but then he brings down a Yesh Omer. He says another pshat, and he says this is Ophos Tziporim Shemenos Shelo Yoldu. This is dealing with certain types of fatty birds that also haven't yet laid eggs. They haven't had any children. So in any event, this is referring to this Basar Shamein that we said was its sphere to the lo iftach. And finally, the Ayin Yoshin, the definition of that is Atik Atiki, which Rashi tells us is Yoshin Shoshalushanim, a three-year-old wine. All of these things are considered very healthy for you. Now, I will point out, many times I've said this, could I say it again, you're not allowed to practice medicine from the Gemara. According to the Chassam Sofer and many, many, many other poskim, so it's also to practice medicine from the Gemara, you're not allowed to follow these statements of the Gemara made. They're not halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. They're not said over in any holy way. This was the Academy of Pumpadisa. This was the local experts at that time, what they thought was true, which is not the Torah telling us this is true. Chazal are always obligated to follow the local medical experts. We see this more than ever with COVID. If the experts say you have to close the shul, so then you have to close the shul, Rahman al-Islam. Because if it's dangerous, you have to listen to the doctors. So in those days, this is what the doctor said. So the Gemara paskins based upon what the doctor said, but not based upon the doctor saying halach l'moshe m'Sinai. So it's very important to realize whenever you have medications or remedies or medical advice given in the Gemara, you're not allowed to follow it. And in fact, if our advice contradicts it, so then we're supposed to follow our medical advice. So if they say, for example, here, Basar Shamein is good, your doctor tells you your cholesterol is high, you can't have Basar Shamein, so then don't have Basar Shamein. If a person has trouble with alcohol, he shouldn't be drinking Yayin Yosha because it makes your upright posture, etc. So don't do things based upon the medical advice of the Gemara. It is not a Torah idea. This is the local medical advice at that point in time. In any event, the Gemara says, "Call me the Mali Lahai Kosher Lahai, Ugdu Kosher Lahai Mali Lahai." In general, nothing is without a price. There's no food that is perfect. We'll see some exceptions, but there's no food that is perfect. If it's good for part A of the body, it may have detrimental effects on part B, and vice versa. If it's good for part B, it may have detrimental effects on part A. That's why we say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one, when he gives the refuah, there are no side effects. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu heals you, there are no side effects. When the doctor heals you, well, you give you this medicine, there are no side effects from every medication. There could be complications from the therapy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that doesn't do that. And in general, foods or other things that you take may be good for one part of the body, but could be bad for another part of the body. But the Gemara says there are several exceptions to this rule. Number one, bar, mizangivila. Zangivila is translated as ginger. Retiva means it's moist, it's fresh, so it's good ginger. Or pilpilei arechta, these pilpilei are peppers, so these long, elongated peppers. And this pasnikia that we mentioned, this very, very finely sifted flour that's made into bread. And this basar shamein that we just spoke about, the fatty meat. And the yayin yoshin, and this three-year-old wine. The male lekule gufe. All of these five things are, in fact, good for the entire body. They don't have a detrimental effect on one part, while they have a positive effect on another part. Okay. That was a little sidebar because we discussed Kutach HaBavli. So now we get into the other items that we mentioned in the Mishnah, the seven items, the four of which were Chametz of a Taruvis, and the three that are Chametz Nuksha. So the next one on the list was Shechar Modi, the beer that came from Modai, the place Modai, Meads. So the Gemara says, the Ramu Bey, they may sari, because they put into it water that was soaked in barley, or they put into it barley directly into the shechar that they regularly had, the date beer. Rashi points out, they used to make beer from dates most of the time. But in Modai, osin shechar mimei sorim. They made it from this water that had barley soaked in it. Kein osin shalanu. Like Rashi says in his time, Rashi was an expert winemaker. He certainly knew about the processing of beer. And he says, nowadays we make it from barley, hops, and not from date beer. So therefore, korelei shechar modi. So this beer, which was unique in those days, that was made from barley, so they call this shechar hamodi. And this has the barley inside of it. Now, if it has barley inside of it, if it's real barley inside of it, so then it shouldn't be chometz that is taruvis. It should be real chometz gomer. It should be aser. So therefore, some suggest that it didn't really have the barley inside of it. It was just soaked in barley, and therefore the water that was soaked in barley, they poured into this date beer that they already had, and therefore it's a taruvis of chometz and not chometz gomer. Then the next item was the chometz huadomi, this vinegar that came from Edom. Now, why was this a tarovis of chametz? Because the shadu beisari, because they likewise, they put inside of it some sort of barley. Rashi states over here, nostin saorin shleimim. They put inside actual kernels of barley, kiri lachmitzo, in order to go and make it ferment. Lefi sheyenam tov, their wines in those days, we'll see them more in a moment, were so great, so excellent, the eino bali dechimus, they never turned into vinegar. Unless you put inside of it some barley. And then the stomach, they would take out the barley and they'd be left with vinegar. So, this is this chometz ho'adomi. This chometz that comes from Edom. Now, where it says, Amr of Nachman, and the Gerus on the side says, delete the words Bar Yitzchak. Because he says that we find that Rav Yitzchak is when Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak is going to be mentioned later on, so this is not Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So I'm Rav Nachman tells us, Betchila, originally, when Klal Yisrael was good and we had the Beis HaMikdash, Betchilosh Koyumevin Nesachim Yehuda, all the wine libations, the Nesachim, came from grapes that were made from Yehuda, which was such beautiful, great grapes. So Loyo Yenam Sheyuda Machmetz, these grapes were so good that the wine that was produced to them never turned into vinegar. If they ever needed vinegar, they had to put some barley inside of it in order to make it be machmitz, to go ferment it and turn it into vinegar. And this vinegar, they used to call stam vinegar in those days meant that it was wine that they had added barley to in order to make it become chometz, because otherwise it wouldn't on its own become chometz. The wine was such high quality. However, Nebuch, the Achshav, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so ein yenom shel adomiyim, this bracha of the wine being so great was taken away from Yehuda with our sins, Nebuch, the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So the bracha of Eretz Yisrael was taken away and it was given to Edom. So these Edomim, they had now this wine that was so great that until you put barley into it, it wouldn't turn into vinegar. That's how great the wine was. So it was taken away from us and given to Edom. V'koronosam chometz Edomi. And therefore now it's called this chometz that comes from Edom. And this fulfills that we said in the pasuk in Yecheskel, "Kai Ma Shenemar Imala Hacharova," which means basically when Klal Yisrael lost their blessing over here, we turned into Harova, into desolation. So then they got it. So Edom takes from us when we're on the top. Edom's on the bottom. When we're on the bottom, Nebuch Edom is on the top. And this is a fulfillment of the pasuk where it says imalazu charavazu imalazu charavazu, that we are like a seesaw. If we're on the top, the Edom has to be on the bottom. If Edom is on the top, then we have to be on the bottom, Nebuch. And this is similarly Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Here we have Rav Nachman Yitzchak said Omei Yochi. He said we have the same idea from the following pasuk from Rivka Imenu, when she has the two children, Yisrael Tzu Abanim Bekirba Batomim Kain Lomazel Anochi Vatelich Ludrosis Hashem. So the Navi tells her, so when she goes to shame, he tells her that what this means is inside of you, you have two kings. And when one king is on the top, the other kingdom is going to be on the bottom. So when we're on the top, so then Edom's on the bottom. But Nebuch, when we're on the bottom, then Edom is going to be on the top. We're, again, a seesaw. We can't both be very, very good, very, very powerful, or both very, very low at the same time. It's a seesaw. Now, Gemara says, Tanya, we learned in a bright psalm of Yehuda, the Tanya of Yehuda says, Be Yehuda, in the area of Eretz Yisrael known as Yehuda, around Yerushalayim, Barishona Lokeach Chometz Mi'am Aretz. At that time, if you bought vinegar from an Am Aretz, Eino Tzorech La'aser, you didn't have to go and take Tumas and Mises from it. Again, originally, You didn't have to take off Trumas and Maisos whenever anybody said they took off Trumas and Maisos. If they said, I took off Trumas and Maisos, everybody was trustworthy. But over time, it was noted that a percentage, a small minority of the Amaratzim, no longer took off Maisos. They said, it's too much for me to take off 10% and give it to the Levi. So Truma they did take off because it was just Chit Achas Boteres HaSakri. They could just take off one kernel and be Yotzi. So they're not going to go and take a chance on Miso B'dei Shumayim if you just could take off one kernel. But the 10% that you had to take off of Maaser Rishon, they were suspect on. So therefore, the rabbis made a decree that when you purchase something from an Amaretz, and Amaretz is defined as somebody who's not careful about taking off Trumas and Maestros, so then you have to go and re-take off Trumas and Maestros, and it's called Demai until you do so. Again, we had this already in this Masechta. So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that in the area of Eretz Yisrael, known as Yehuda, so originally when you purchased this vinegar from an Amaretz, you didn't have to take off Trumas and Maestros. And the reason is, Mibnei HaChazaka She'enu Bo Elim HaTemet, because one could take it to the bank that in this situation, that the Amaretz did not take this from, in fact, wine that had become vinegar, because the wine was so good, it never turned into vinegar. So therefore, any vinegar that you purchase from a Amaretz came from Temet. What is Temet? So Rashi tells us Temet, he gives us a foreign language word, Lefisha Hayayin Hayatov. Their wine was so good, as we said, Venu Mechametz, it didn't become fermented, it didn't turn into vinegar. The Stam Chomet Shalem, and therefore the typical vinegar that they had in those days was Min Temet Hayah. It came from Temet. Temet was basically the dregs, the sediment that was left over at the bottom after you crushed the grapes, so they would soak that in water, and it would still pull out a little bit of juice, and that juice would be vinegar. And therefore, it was so cheap and so inexpensive that even the Amaratzim would go take off Trumas and Maaser, and there was no chashash on it of that it was demai. Everybody could assume that even this temet, which was so cheap and so inexpensive and so relatively worthless, so no person would not take off Trumas and Maaser from it. So even from an Amaretz, you didn't have to be concerned that they didn't take it off. However, the Achshav, once Nebuch, the Beis HaMikdash, was destroyed, now, Halokeh Chometz Mi'amaretz. Now, when you took vinegar from the Amaretz, it came from wine. And that was more expensive. So therefore, Tzorech La'aser, you had to presume that the Amaretz did not take off Trumas and Maaser, and you had to take off Maaser, Tzorech La'aser, because Shechez Koso ain't a boil of Minayayim, because here, it didn't come from these dregs, the sediment, and it was just soaked in water after you pressed down on the grapes, and this was what was left. But now, it came from wine that spoiled, that became vinegar, and therefore, it was more expensive, and there was a presumption that the Amaretz did not take off, or a percentage of the Amaratzim did not take off Trumas and Maaser, and you had to treat it as demai, and you had to be ma'aser it again. Now, what do we see from here? V'savar Rav Yehuda, temet lav barisurihu. That, according to Rav Yehuda, the regular temet did not have to take off Trumas and Maaser, but that seems to go against the following Mishnah in Maaser, V'otanya. Now, the Gersa that we have is that it's a Braisa, but on the side it says it's Tanan, it's really a Mishnah in Maestros. So it says there, Hamisamed, if somebody makes Temet, again, he takes the pressed grapes that you squeezed out all of the juices, and he adds water to it. And if you put in Vinosa and Mayim Bemida, you put in a quart of water onto these pressed grapes, and when you then let it sit for a while, and you pour it out, Umotso Kidei Midoso, and you get a quart of liquid back. So it's just the same amount of liquid that you had originally. You're not getting any additional liquid from the grape. It's just soaking in the grape, the crushed grapes, the dregs, and you're getting back the same amount of liquid that you put in, so then potter. Then that is just basically flavored water. It's not considered something that you have to take Trumas and Maaser from. But that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. This Temed, the Tanakhama says you're potter for Trumas and Maaser, but Rabbi Yehuda Mechayev, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, or Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you don't have to take off Demai, you don't have to presume it's Demai from the Amaretz and take off Trumas and Maaser. Here in the Mishnah, in Maaser, Rabbi Yehuda says you're Mechayev too. So what's going on? Rabbi Yehuda seems to contradict himself. So one says, no, Hachi Koma, this is what Rabbi Yehuda is telling us. Lo nechshedu Ami Aretz ala Temed. He's telling us that you do have to take off Trumas and Maaser from Temed. That is, he says, something that's real. He doesn't consider it just flavored water. He says, no, this is really vinegar. This is an inferior wine. So you have to take off Trumas and Maaser. That's what he says in the Mishnah Maaser. How come And the Braisa says that for Benam Oritz, you don't have to take it off, because that's what I said previously. It's so inexpensive, it's so cheap, that even the Amoratzim were not concerned about taking the 10% of this. 10% of 10 cents is a penny. What's the big deal? If you're talking about something worth $10, whoa, now I got to give you a dollar, that's already a large amount. So they're the Amoratzim who were concerned about this, giving so much of their produce away, so they didn't do that. That small percentage of Amoratzim ruined it for all the other Amoratzim. But here, essentially, 100% of the Amoratzim took off Maestros from the Temet. So he's saying, yes, it is Chayiv in Maestros. That's what he says in the Mishnah in Maestros. But in the Brayis here, he says, but the Amoratzim were not Choshesh, that they didn't take this off. That's Teretz number one. Lo Nechshedu Ami Oretz ala Temet. Teretz number two, Iboy Yiseimo, no, in fact, Nechshedu, they were concerned about taking it off. But there's two types of Temet, the Lokasha. In the Brayis, he's talking about one type of Temet, in the Mishnah, he's talking about the other type of Temet. And the two types are, Ha, Bidravka, and Ha, Bitapurtseini. Now, what are these two different types of Temet? So Rashi tells us that in the Brayis, it's dealing with something that is definitely Potter from Maisa, and the Masnisa Kamaisa, in the first Brayis we brought down, it's potter, mishum de potter, afil mi maiser vada. Even if you knew that this was not tied, you don't have to take off maisers from it. That's betemet purtsani. Kamar, shinos de mayim bechartsanim. You just add water to the crushed skins that are left. Vu machmitz, and it becomes vinegary. Umarsiach liachos man. And it turns into this vinegary type of substance. Vainu temet, the last bo'el kiyua de pera. It only has the flavor from the fruits, and therefore it's not chayiv in trumas ha'maisers. That's what the Braisa says. You don't have to go and take it from the Am Haaretz, because nobody would have to go take it. That's the purtsani. And in the Mishnah in Maisos, or the Tani Rav Yehuda Mechayev, that's talking about Bidarvaka. Now, what is that? Shinostim Bishmarim Mayim. You take over here the actual dregs and you put in water. Funami Temed, it also makes this temed, this wine like substance. But here, it's Mechayev. Even if you put in a quart and you get back a quart, he says, no, there was wine in there and you displaced it with your water. So you're going to get back the same amount, the same quart that you put in, you're going to get back. But you're exchanging the water that you're putting in with the wine that was still present amongst these leftover grapes. Lefisha yayin shoshmarim mu'urbo. There was wine still in there. Umin hamayim nisha bishmarim. And water displaced it. So you put in your quart of water and you're getting back not the same quart of water that just flavored, you're getting back parts of wine that were originally there. And that's why in the Mishnah and Maisos he feels that this is significant, that you have to take off Trumas and Maisos from it. So again, this is the second Teretz that we're dealing here, that the Amoratzim were concerned. If this was the second form, this form of Darvaka, so there you would have to take off Trumas and Maisos again from the questionable, did the Am Haaretz take it off? But that's because this is something that, according to Rav Yehuda, requires Maisus to be taken from it. As opposed to in the Braisa, that's dealing with something that is just liquid that is slightly flavored, and therefore there is no Chiyuv in Trumas and Maisus. So that's how you can reconcile the Mishnah and the Braisa. Now we go to the fourth thing in the Mishnah, the Zesom HaMitzri. My Zesom HaMitzri, what exactly is this Zesom HaMitzri? So Tana Rav Yosef, this is a concoction that is made up of Tilso Sari. One third of it is the barley, and that's why it has the tarovis of chametz in it. Tilsa kurtumi, a third of it is kurtum. Kurtum is always translated as morika or krug, which is saffron. And the third thing is a tilsa milcha, and it had a third of it that was made up of salt. Now, that was the version that Rav Yosef had for this, the formula, the ingredients of the Zesom HaMitzri. Rav Papa, on the other hand, took out mafik sari. He said, no, it doesn't have barley in there. Umayel chiti. He says it has wheat inside of it. That's how you make the Zesom HaMitzri. And the way to remember this, Gemara tells us, nemanek b'simonech. The way to always remember things, Gemara taught us many times, is to make simonim, is to make mnemonics. Those of you that are following along with the Zichru, so they have the mnemonics on every daf to help people remember what the dafim are talking about. So here he tells you a good simon, v'simonech is sisone. Others have the girsa samach samach. But the idea here is that sare, which has the s sound, and Rav Yosef, which has the s sound. So both of them are to remember that Rav Yosef was the one that said sorry. So you may remember sisani. Sisani is a certain type of a container that they used to put dates into, Rashi tells us. So therefore you remember the word sisani, or you remember the samach samach, and that will remind you that Rav Yosef is the one that says that the formula for this included barley, as opposed to Rav Papa, who said the formula included wheat and not barley. In any event, what do they do with this? Toru lehu, they would let them all sit together, they'd soak them all together, then the kolulu, they would go and toast it, then the tachli lehu, they would go grind it up, and then they would drink this stuff, the shasu lehu, me divcha, they would go and drink it from divcha. Divcha is dalet and the zayin interchangeable, so it means zevach. So what's zevach? So when we talk about the zevach, we talk about the korban pesach. In other words, they would drink this from divcha, which is another word to call pesach. Bi'an atzarta, atzeres is always, the Gemara is never referring to shmini atzeres, it's atzeres is always shvuos, which is like the shmini atzeres of pesach. So therefore, they would drink this during the svira period of time, from pesach until shavuos, and for those people that were unfortunately constipated, so the comet, so anybody that had the constipation, mirafile, it would loosen them up. Udarafe, somebody that never had loose bowels, so mekametlu, it would go and make them not having diarrhea, it would bind them. And therefore, this was something that was a beneficial drink, and that's why we drink this zisom hamitri, again, which had a taruvus of either barley or wheat inside of it, which is why it is also, according to Rashi, bayirah, bayimotze, that's why it's listed in our Mishnah as things you shouldn't have in your possession. However, the Gemara says, if you're a sick person, l'chola, or you're isha ubra, if you're a pregnant woman, don't drink this stuff, sakanta. It works in a way that will be somehow harmful for a sick person or a pregnant woman. Now we go into the next three categories, which are chametz nuksha. These aren't foods, but they contain chametz in it, which is technically still edible, albeit in a very, very poor state. So what is this? Zoman shol tzaboim v'chule. We said that the people that used to make various dyes, so they use this substance, this zoman. So hachar tagimu in Babel here, more obvious is here in Babel, so this is called maya de chivri. This is water that comes from white material. Chivri is white, which means the bran, which means the water that was soaked in the bran, and the whitish material, the substance that came off in this water, this whitish material, they would use this, the tzavibahu. Now the gears that we have is laba. On the side it says the gear should be laka. This material would be used as a dye. On the side, in the source of Shas, it tells us this laka is a tzeva or Edom. It's like a reddish color, and they would use this as a dye. But that's what this Zomon Shel Tzaboim is. The sixth item mentioned in the Mishnah, the second of the Chometz Nuksha, is V'amilon Shel Tabochim. A tabach is like a butcher, but it's also a cook, and these amilon that they used had some bread inside of it. So the Gemara says, what is this amilon? It's pastvua. It is bread that is made from wheat. Shaloi v'yishlish. But these grains of wheat had not fully matured. They had only reached a third of their growth, a third ripened. And they would take this, shemanicha pikadera, they would take this type of grain that was made into bread, and they would put it on their pots when they were cooking to show eves hazuama. They would absorb all of the zuama. Zuama is the waste that came out of the cooking. It's like the bubbly stuff that comes off sometimes at the top of the cooking that you want to take off, that has schmutz inside of it and you want to get rid of it, right? Infectious diseases, they always tell you, is machalot zuhamios. So this is zuhama, is the impurity, the schmutz that comes out. Fine. The last thing that the Mishnah mentions, the third one of the Chometz Nuksha, the seventh in all, is this kolon shel sofrim v'chule. So this kolon is a certain type of material that the sofrim used to use to glue stuff together. So the Gemara says, ha-ha, here, over here in Babel, Targuma, they explained that this kolon was perura de ushkafi. This was ushkafi of the shoemakers, and perura was something that would hold it together. In other words, it was glue. Rashi has a foreign sounding word, glud, which sounds like glue. And he says, V'ratzonim, the leather makers, medafkin bo esor, kishim ischalik l'shtayim, when the hide would be split into two, they would hold them together with this glue, o medafkin shtei orus yachad, lasso son ova, or they would put two hides together to make them thicker, and they would attach them with this glue. Medarkin los esbo kemach shoshipun, they would go and take flour that was made out of spelt to make this, and that's the chametz that's in over here. Well, kami mafarish, maishol sofrim. So then why it's called sofrim? If we're dealing here with shoemakers, then why it's called sofrim? We'll explain that in a minute. So that's the first explanation. This was the ratzonim, the shoemakers, the ashkufe, they would make this leather bind things together with his glue. They would bind leather together. Now, Rav Shimi Michozonah, Rav Shimi, who came from a place Michozonah, he says, Amar zet tipulon shobnos ashirim. This was something that the rich girls they used to use to remove excessive hair from their bodies. Shemishairos also livnos aniyim, and they would give the leftovers. They would give this to the poor girls. The rich girls had a lot of it, but when they didn't need it anymore, so they were kind. They gave it to the poor girls. Now, Rashi explains that this was made out of flour. She shall soles mishayaros that was left over mishiurein livnos sofrim, and the girls who were rich would give it to the daughters of the Sofrim, who were Melamde Tinokos, and they were poor, Shinanian. And that's why it's known over here as the Kolon Shel Sofrim. Mepharshim point out, they would specifically have only the Mishayaros, that was the leftovers, it would become Chametz. While it was used originally, it didn't yet have time to become Chametz. And only when it was left over for a while and they gave it to the poor girls, did it become Chametz. So that's when it became this Chametz Nuksha. More questions, this comment of Rav Shimi. Ini, really? Is that so? V'atana Rav Chiya learned, Arba mine medina. In our Mishnah, there are four types of chametz that are mentioned, and shlosha mine umnas, and three types of chametz nuksha that are mentioned that have to do with various professions. So, if this is so, what you're saying, Rav Shimi, that it's just the depilatory agent that the rich girls used and they gave the leftovers to the poor girls, yamas tipulin shobnos ashirim, so then, my mine umnas ika, so then, why is this listed amongst the three different types of things that we said various professionals use? We had the dyers, and we had the cooks, and now we have the sofrim. So, why then would the tipulin shobnos ashirim be included amongst these artisans? So Gemara says, "My mine umnesika. What type of umnes are we dealing with here that this should be listed according to you, Rav Shimi, in this group?" So Gemara says, "No. Ela my perua dushkafi." So you have the same question with the perua dushkafi. Why aren't you asking the same question to the first pshat that we gave that it was the perua dushkafi? Gemara says, "Ela my perua dushkafi. Am I korile hai kolon shel sofrim? Why is it called sofrim? What does it have to do? It should have been the leather workers. Kolon shel ratzonim viboile. You should have called it the leather workers, the shoemakers. Why are you calling it, in this situation, the sofrim?" So Gemara says, no, that we have an answer for. Amar v'shaya, lolan peru dishkafi. It is, in fact, the shoemakers, the leather makers, glue. Umay korile kolon shel sofrim. So why did it use the terminology over here for the sofrim, for the people that use books? So where it says, the sofrim nami bedapkin bu, Nero saying, this is how they would make a book. They would glue the pages together. And therefore, this was also called the kolon shel sofrim. Natigmar says, Rabbi Lezer added on an additional thing that was chametz nuksha. Rabbi Lezer Omer af tachshitei noshim v'chule. He says also that the tachshitim of noshim doesn't mean their jewelry and it doesn't mean their makeup. We'll see what it means. Gemara says tachshitei noshim salkadaitach. What would in your mind make you think that this is chametz nuksha? Jewelry is certainly not chametz nuksha. And even if you want to say that this is makeup, so why would you say that this is something that's chametz? Their makeup didn't have chametz in it. Rashi says this is makeup. Kechol, usrak, ubesamim. These are various types of makeup that they would put on their eyes or on rouge or various spices, shenotlos, but shetolos of arayin, tilhariach, that they would smell nice. Umay chametzika. There's no chametz in them, so why would this be a problem? Why is Rabbi Lezer telling us that you should include tachshitei noshim in this chametz nuksha category? So Gemara says, Eleimo, af tipulei noshim. It means over here, also, these tipule noshim are when you remove items here that remove the hair. So they had, as we just pointed out, some chometz, maybe some flour of spelt, like we just said in Rashi, inside of them. Dam Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda tells us the name of Rav. Benos Yisrael, we turn to Mem Gimel Amud Aleph. The daughters of Israel, the Jewish women, shegil apirkun, if they reached a certain age of maturity in their body, however, v'lo egil l'shanim, in other words, if they started having evidence of pubic development and pubic hair before it was the right time, and they were embarrassed about having pubic hair as such a young girl, so benos anios, the poor girls, toflos oson besit, they would remove this excessive hair with plaster, sit, which was somewhat painful. Benos ashirim, the richer girls, toflos oson besolis, they would take this flour And that's why it's chametz nuksha here. They would take this flour, do all sorts of things to it, and use it as a depilatory agent. And then the richest girls, benos malachim, the wealthiest girls, the daughters of the princesses, the daughters of the kings, they would take b'shemen amor, like we have from the Megillah. Shenemar, shisho chadoshim b'shemen amor, that all the women in the challenge to become Achashverosh's new wife, so they all beautify themselves with shemen amor. And when it says, my shemen amor, what exactly is the shemen amor? So Rav Huna bar Yirmi Omer, it's something called setakas, which means shemen hamor. Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba Omar, shemen zayish loy vishlish. This was olive oil that hadn't reached a third of its ripeness, a third of its maturity, and therefore it was used for this shemen mor. So in any event, this balls of oil, the satakas, or this other definitions of shemen hamor, that it's a certain type of olive oil, so that is what the princesses would use. Mor says, Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, Ryudomer, on piknin, shemen zayish loy vishlish. Likewise, we have this on piknin, which is a certain type of oil as well, was made similar to this shemen amor that was made from olives that hadn't yet reached a third of their maturity. So what was the purpose of anointing themselves with this? So the Gemara tells us, it had two purposes. One, it was a depilatory agent, and also it made the skin that much nicer. It made the skin beautiful. And that's why these women would go and put it on. And that's why Rabbi Elazar says that this had chametz inside of it, albeit chametz nuksha, and therefore that is why he included it in this category. Tosos on Membeis on Membeis in the bottom Tosos Tipulin says, so then according to what you're saying that it's a depilatory agent, then how is this any different than the definition of Rav Shimi Bilmachozanah, who said it's Tipulin Shubnos Ashirim Shimishairos Osalos Aniyim? It's the same thing. So he said, no, there's difference. There's where you're removing the excessive hair from. And what Rav Elazar says is that this, which removed pubic hair, you might have thought was different than the one that removed the hair on the legs or other parts of the body that was not wanted. So therefore, he has to teach us that this also is considered chametz nuksha. The previous one they used on their face, Tosu says, lo mois, and therefore it's not so disgusting. Shetoflen apneim, that removed the facial hair. So that's not so terrible. So you might have thought, oh, that's chametz nuksha. But the stuff that you're using to remove the pubic hair, shetoflen apneim shomata, so that is the moist tvei, you might not have thought that makes it to the category of chametz nuksha, kamash v'lon that it does. With this, we conclude today's shir.